Eleven, or Jane as she seems to be identifying now, uses her remote viewing capabilities to find the girl from the prologue of this season, who we only know is Eight. She flees from her aunt's house when she overhears her talking to the Hawkins Sheriff Department trying to reach Hopper.
Jane has tracked Eight down to Chicago. After a rough introduction to Eight's gang, Eight introduces herself as Callie and explains that she uses her mental imaging powers to help outcasts like herself regain and maintain their sanity, as well as hunt down the men and women responsible for experimenting on her and Jane.
Jane agrees to help with her fight, and they quickly track down the orderly that administered the electroshocks that incapacitated her mother. When the moment comes to kill him, Jane learns he has daughters of his own and cannot go through with it. The police arrive, and Jane, Callie, and the gang have to retreat.
At the abandoned factory that serves as Callie's hideout, Jane has a dream where she sees Mike and Hopper in trouble at Hawkins' lab. A heavily armed police unit converges on the factory, and Callie and Jane use their powers to help the gang escape. But at the last minute, Jane realizes she has to go back to Hawkins to help save her friends. Callie tearfully leaves her sister behind.
Welcome to Dungeons & Demogorgons, the officially unofficial podcast for Stranger Things on Netflix. I'm Jim.
I'm Aaron.
And we just got done watching Season 2, Episode 7, titled Chapter 7, The Lost Sister. What'd you think of this one?
Good. Last episode proved the show can survive without Eleven or Jane, and this episode proves that Jane can survive without the boys. It was good. It was good. I liked the energy or chemistry between Jane and Callie. I thought they're extremely sympathetic characters. Some of Callie's gang was kind of on my nerves. The Mohawk guy, especially. But yeah, it was good. And I was wondering, because this was starting to go really dark places when she was choking to death at the big fat idiot that, seemed like a cruel guy. Because I was wondering, he's pulling this, I was only doing what they told me to do. And I'm like, well, I guess if it was just the electroshock therapy, maybe you could get off. But Callie has this memory of this guy just cattle prodding this, 10-year-old girl. And,
uncalled for.
No one has to tell you that that's wrong.
Right.
Fucking thug. So, Jane is choking this guy to death. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, God, this is dark. This is a little girl. The same kind of thing we talk about a lot with Arya on Game of Thrones.
Sure.
This is righteous. And I'm not saying it's wrong, but is this overall healthy for... And then Jane sees the guy's daughters in the picture, and the daughters are at the house calling the police. And I'm like, okay. And then when she gets the Dagobah vision of Mike and Hopper and Obi-Wan Kenobi tries to say, no, you haven't completed your vengeance training yet. She's like, nope, got to go back. And I actually got a little choked up when she said the line, your friends, Callie says, your friends can't save you. And she goes, no, but I can save them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's that got me. So yeah, I'm in the tank for this episode. You?
I don't like this episode at all.
Seriously?
I really hated this episode.
Whoa!
I was not interested in any way in this particular story. I wish that there had been some kind of way to get somebody else on board with Jane's quest here, with Elle's quest, because I felt like introducing all these new characters that we do not care about. Just in the middle, just completely shit all over the momentum that this season had.
Huh.
I felt like this just ripped me right out of the story, and they needed to find a way to tie it better into what's happening in Hawkins.
Huh.
For me to care at all.
I see where you're coming from. For me, it was important that Elle gets some agency, because thus far in the story, she hasn't, right? She's made snap decisions for her survival,
mm-hmm.
which are not choices that one makes.
Here, sure.
She chooses to, she chooses to leave Hopper's cabin. She finds her mother. She gets her mother's message. She interprets it how she wants. She goes and finds her sister. And then she's presented with the first genuine choice of the series, whether she wants to stay with her sister and pursue this path of vengeance or go back and help save her friends.
Absolutely. And I'm not going to disagree with any of that. I think that needed to happen. But the problem here is that it killed the momentum on the other story for me. And if they could have had some way, the thing that we've been praising them all along for is how well they tie the stuff together,
mm-hmm.
With all of the different plots. And this just completely did the opposite here. It took us entirely away from what's happening at Hawkins and showed us something that needed to happen but didn't need to happen in this way.
Well, but
could have been better written to coincide with the other stuff that's happening.
Yeah.
At least thematically.
I mean, my argument would be that they use those scenes of, like, Hopper trying to reach out with her on the radio and, you know, the scenes mm-hmm. from the Hawkins, the ground.
But those were crumbs, and they needed a whole fucking loaf.
Right, like, but no, they weren't crumbs. They were connections, so we see the sense of urgency that, like, as Jane is off in Chicago on this adventure, we know mm-hmm. the clock is really ticking for Mike and Will and Hopper back home, and is she going to make it back in time? So, like, I don't know. It's like, I made the analogy as a joke, but what is the difference between this and Luke's training montage on Dagobah? Because, like, you've got the rebels fleeing for their life in the middle of mm-hmm. the shit, so to speak.
Because Luke is the main character. Luke mm-hmm. is the character that we care about the most in that moment.
So Jane isn't?
I think Elle we definitely care about, but they've set it up to where we care about everyone equally, in my mind. And so to take us entirely away from the story of one to do the story of another is something they've never done before and mm-hmm. something that doesn't feel like Stranger Things to me.
But they did it last episode. So I feel like in your...
Yeah, but it was everyone except Elle. It was like all of the stories that I care about except for one.
Right.
Whereas this is none of the stories I care about except for one.
Okay. I mean, I don't want to get in an argument with you because it's your damn opinion. But like, I'm just saying that like the consequence of last episode... I mean, I don't know how else they tell the story and present her the choice if she never gets away from
sure.
Hopper, especially. Mm-hmm. Like, she never gets away from Hopper. She can never make a choice because Hopper's making those decisions. Just as you pointed out several episodes ago, there's, you know, there's lots of different, like, moral and ethical differences between Hopper and Papa or Brenner.
Mm-hmm.
But methodology and practice and from Elle's experience, there's not. And I think she needed to get away to get that perspective. And I don't know, like I said, I was super engaged. I really liked Callie. I didn't like her gang so much, but she has to have one. So, and I felt like they were all very thin. Like, they weren't characters so much as very different and brightly shaped people that you can recognize immediately. Like the Mohawk guy, the giant black dude.
No, and I mean, that doesn't feel like
hair.
Stranger Things either, right? Like, the thing that we talk about Stranger Things being great at is endearing us to the characters.
Yeah.
Or endearing the characters to us right away, like immediately and efficiently, and they don't do that here either.
Hmm.
So,
I mean, you're right. These do feel like they were designed to be disposable characters. But again, I'm trying to think of how they do it better. And I just the problems you're having with like feeling angsty about getting back to the next to what's going getting back at Hawkins, like I didn't feel throughout the episode.
Hmm. Okay.
And there are
some things to like about this episode, but ultimately, I felt like it just ripped me right out of this season.
I like the fact that the girls have different manifestations of their powers, like that they're just cookie cutter, that Callie's got this mental imagery that she can do. She can make people see horrifying things or beautiful mm-hmm. things. Or I thought one of the nicest effects in the series is when she made that like metallic shield wall between the cops
cool.
and her van. I thought that was a big kind of showy moment,
mm-hmm.
Nice showpiece. And
they're doing a whole bunch. You mentioned the analogy of Star Wars. They're doing a whole bunch of Star Wars stuff here. I mean,
it's
not even just, you know, the training thing and he's got to go off to save his friends. It's
Luke pulling
the Vader thing with Vader on his shoulder saying, "Given to the dark side." It's
she even confronted
the
Vader,
Yoda
the vision
thing
of Vader.
Lifting the X-Wing out of the swamp. Yeah, I mean, it's everything, you know,
and she's even confronting the Vader, like literally the way Luke
Brenner.
Had to confront the ghost of Vader. He had to confront the ghost of Brenner. You were violently in disagreement that Brenner's still alive.
Yeah. No, when Ray tried to suggest that Brenner mm-hmm. was still out there, I said, no, he's fucking not. We saw the Demogorgon jump at him. We didn't see him disemboweled, but what possible reason would the Demogorgon have to spare Dr. Brenner when he kills literally everyone else?
I think he might very well be fucked up and disemboweled and really hurt bad, but did he die? I guess the strongest argument, and I'm playing because I don't have a dog in this fight. I'm just looking at the story. I guess the biggest thing you could say is that if Brenner's still alive, why do we have the possibly evil, you know, Dr. Paul Reiser?
Calling him possibly evil. I don't know. That's tongue in cheek, but
right. unless Brenner's going to be in some kind of like mechanized Vader suit that's he's just at the bowels of the Hawkins lab that's going to be unleashed in episode. I mean,
he's going to come back as RoboCop.
It feels silly. RoboDoc. It feels silly, but I've seen this show, like, you know, we were mocking the idea that they would have a cute upside down creature, and then they fucking pulled it off
temporarily.
So,
yeah.
Right. So, like, you know, they're. You say RoboCop, and I'm like, well, shit, that was definitely an 80s thing.
It was.
Like, I mean, I think that sounds ridiculous, but maybe they can pull it off.
Maybe. Maybe. I don't know. In my opinion, Brenner is dead at the moment.
And I think also because, you know, Mike and Hopper have instilled this kind of, like, you know, moral code into her. And, like, you know... 11 or Jane is kind of very feral and angry as her like default setting, and I thought it was interesting to give her this sister that she had this instant bond with. I had the shared experience, and her sister's like, that's fine, it's fine to be angry, like, mm-hmm. you're justifiably angry, and that anger can make you powerful. No one has told her that. Like, fucking
sure.
Mike
yeah.
and Hopper, they can't really relate, and they can't, you know, speak to her experience, and I think having Callie as that character to can mm-hmm. was super cool. And also the fact that you know, that moment where Jane decides not to kill this orderly Ray, and then Callie's like, well, fuck this, and gets the gun out, and Jane smacks out her hand, like, Callie also says, don't ever fucking take my choice away. Mm-hmm. And that's been a big problem with Jane, that she has used her powers because she can to manipulate people and to prevent them, you know, like mostly for good. But, you know, it's like, this is the same kind of thing she did with, like, Lucas and the boys when she tried to keep him from the lab. And mm-hmm. and this person she respect also says, that's, you know, that's not cool. You can't do that.
Yeah.
And I wonder if that's going to be like a, you know, I just felt like there's a lot of character development for Jane in this episode that she could never have had in the Stranger Things formula. So I'll forgive him for breaking that formula for a bit.
I'm glad when she finally makes the decision to go back to Hawkins, A, because I thought this was a misstep of an episode, but B, it shows us what kind of character she's going to be, because you have Darth Vader on your shoulder saying, mm-hmm. given to the dark side, mm-hmm. and we're going to heal ourselves through revenge, which
right.
we know does not work. That's
right.
not a proper treatment. You need
right.
to heal yourself in other ways.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we're going to see Callie again, but if we do... I wonder how it's going to work out for her.
Well, I will say that to your point, you know, halfway through the episode when it seems like that she was just going to do this A-team shit with Callie, I'm like, wow, like, I'm digging this, but how are, like, I assume that she has to come back to Hawkins, or you're right, this is a big part of the show. And I'm like, I wonder how they're going to do that. I think I would have been more on your side if we had gone out of this episode and she was still no closer to getting back to the action on Hawkins.
Yeah.
Because that was something I think I said last episode, like, boy, they really need L.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these people are really fucking up shit creek without any kind of paddles, curiosity or otherwise, with these Demogorgons and these creatures. Like, it's nice that Will's the spy, but can Will really fight back?
Yeah.
They need 11 to kind of even the playing field. So I would have been a lot more impatient and probably a lot more bad, like, in the tone of my review, if I thought they were going to string this out for
I just
longer.
Wish they had integrated it better. Like, if we had seen glimpses of Elle in Chicago and glimpses of what's going on in Hawkins kind of mixed together a little better, like in Empire Strikes Back. I mean, we're with
right.
Han and Leia and Chewie and C-3PO, like, a lot of the time, you know?
Right, they're digging around an asteroid field. And
right, and we also see, you know, Luke doing his Dagobah thing. But,
right.
like, we see it all, and I feel like that has been the recipe that's worked so well for Stranger Things for so long. Why take this risk and change it up?
For sure, they could have interleaved these two episodes instead of having them be standalone. This is the one without L, this is the one with L.
Yeah.
And I don't, like, it would be interesting to see, like, if we're...
I'd like to do a cut of that, honestly. Like, cut these two episodes differently.
Yeah.
And see what I feel about it.
Because they give you
it.
Everything you need to know. They give you these, like, three linchpin scenes that Elle observes remotely, so you could know that, like, okay, here is where And you could even like have that be either exit point or an entry point back into to Elle or Jane. This is another fucking crazy eyes Susan thing where it's like,
what do you call her?
I don't think it's going to be cool to call her Eleven, for especially if she starts increasing identified as Jane, but yet we as the audience have known her as this for a long time.
I think she'll come back and the boys will be like Elle, and she'll say Jane now.
Yeah, I do too. But it's just gonna be a big adjustment. I think you could do that, and I wonder like if you asked the Duffer brothers, were they trying to build tension with, like, the audience, like, oh, where's Elle? And then also when you cut away from this disaster at the Hawkins lab, it builds more tension. But that's something I can certainly get behind. Like, there seems, just like we say so many times on other shows that do this, it doesn't seem like there's any reason you couldn't have riffle shuffled these episodes better.
Yeah.
We're getting geared up for the 6th Annual Summer Badass Fest. And while we're working on a slate of apex badass films to enjoy, we've got an early action-packed announcement to make.
Just like last year, we're kicking off badass season with a live movie watch and podcast recording. We've rented out a theater for connoisseurs of action films and ball move fans that just want to have a great time.
Unlike last year, this year's movie is top secret. Hush, hush. No hints. Except, it's incredibly badass. It stars an absolute icon of the genre. We're willing to bet most of you haven't seen it, and it's going to be an incredible viewing experience with a packed house of bald movers.
Those of you who came to last year's screening of Total Recall know what a party it was. And those of you who didn't, now's your chance to experience it. Meet me and Jim. Order some custom movie-themed drinks at the theater's full bar. Then watch us record the full podcast for the movie. We reserved a venue over twice the size as last year, but seating is still limited.
It's happening Friday, June 21st at 7 p.m. in our hometown of Cincinnati. Get full details and buy tickets at baldmove.com/live.
Cincinnati's actually a pretty great city to visit, and we've got lots of details for side adventures on our event page as well. The Reds are playing the Boston Red Sox in their fantastic Riverside Stadium. The thrills of Kings Island just minutes away, and I'll be leading a kayak trip down the scenic Little Miami River on Saturday.
Again, get full details and get your tickets now on our Badass Fest 6 page at baldmove.com/live.
Here are the weekly highlights coming up this week on Bald Move.
Apple TV is releasing a new series based on Blake Crouch's novel Dark Matter. Aaron and I are big fans of his work, so we're picking up the new show on day one. Join us this Wednesday for the preview podcast.
The Shogun Limited series might be over, but that doesn't mean our Shogun coverage has to end. We've got the wrap-up podcast releasing this Tuesday, where we'll consider all your feedback and final thoughts on the series. And because we like the show so much, we decided to go all the way back to 1980 to cover the first TV adaptation of the novel. Do what you can to find a copy and join us this Thursday for the first of our four-part podcast on the 1980 Shogun miniseries.
And finally, the latest first-run movie, The Fall Guy, features Emily Blunt and Ryan Gosling. He's a stuntman tasked with finding the star of his ex-girlfriend's movie when he suddenly goes missing. Is it a rom-com? Yes. Does that mean I'll automatically hate it? Not if the trailer lives up to its promise. Join us for the podcast on Bald Move Pulp this Thursday night.
You can find these and many other great podcasts by searching for Bald Move Pulp or Bald Move Prestige in your favorite podcast app. Hey, it's time for another season of Why is Mr. Feeny a Car? The premise is simple. A Gen Xer and a millennial watch old 80s action TV to see what still works and what doesn't. In previous seasons, we've done podcasts for Knight Rider, Airwolf, MacGyver, A-Team, and more. However, this year we're doing a very special season of Feeny. We're going back and reviewing the very special episodes of 80s and 90s sitcoms. Come cringe along with us as Hollywood tries to warn our families of the dangers of underage smoking, drug abuse, alcoholism, eating disorders, and much more. We start out with the episode of Boy Meets World where a high school kid gets sucked into a cult. Worlds collide as the Mr. Feeny finally makes an appearance on Why is Mr. Feeny a Car?
Join me and my buddy Jay each week for episodes full of nostalgia and secondhand embarrassment. And don't worry, if Very Special isn't your speed, we've also got some all-time classic Knight Rider episodes to close the season with. Find Why Is Mr. Feeny a Car? Each Wednesday on Bald Move Pulp, starting April 3rd.
But ultimately, I don't think this is going to actually kill the momentum of the season.
Right.
I think it's just going to be one of those things where I'm like, I don't know if I really want to watch episode 7 because I'm so engrossed in the Hawkins thing right now.
Yeah.
Once we get back to Hawkins and Elle shows up, I'm sure I will be totally cool.
My question is, I wonder if Callie will decide to follow her sister.
Huh. That could be
because there was like a real bond that she had very quickly, and like they imply that, and it makes sense because Callie's a lot older than Jane, but they made it seem like Callie remembered Elle a lot more. Callie remembered Jane a lot more than Jane remembered Callie, and Jane being disappeared when she got taken, because it seems like the scientist quickly lost interest in Callie. Because it's like, well, what, you know, like this doesn't seem as applicable to warfare as the shit that Jane can do. Like, you can't kill a cat. You can make cats behave like erratic assholes, and that's pretty much her default setting. So, like, she got kind of abandoned, and she didn't have anyone, and that caused her to use her powers to escape from the lab. And it sounds like she had a very similar experience to her, where she fell in with someone that she thought they could be home, but, you know, also they were super overprotective, and...
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, I'd like to see more of Callie, maybe less of her friends, and we'll see if they can kind of integrate those together. Because I think that Callie does good things for Jane.
Yeah, yeah. It provides interesting opportunities for Jane to make decisions.
Mm-hmm.
I think Callie is potentially a bad influence on Jane.
Mm-hmm.
But
Jane could be a good influence. The other way you can state that is Jane's a good influence on Callie.
Yeah, and in as much as it's interesting to watch these two characters interact, I think it's good.
I do like the idea that, like, you've got this mutant that using her, like, is like she'd be the best therapist in the world because she can, like, you know, directly inject things into your mind to calm you down or to stimulate your challenge. Because I got the idea... You know, I've only seen this episode once, that all of these people had, like, severe mental problems, mental illnesses, emotional problems that Callie, with her, you know, being able to make them see things, was able to make heal and whole, which is why they've kind of banded around her.
Yeah.
So that speaks, like, you know, yeah, she's super dark and twisted when it comes to the Brenners and the Rays of the world, but I'm not sure I have a real problem with that, other
yeah.
than, like you say, like... In as much as she can't move on and be healthy and have a normal life, you know, that's sad.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't like it seems like a rational thing to be experimented on, have special powers and go back and wreak vengeance upon those mm-hmm. who wronged you.
Totally. And I don't know if I don't know if this actress who's playing Callie has this accent, this mm-hmm. mix of English and Indian accent, but it's fucking spot on if she doesn't. Like, if she's putting on this accent, mm-hmm. it sounds great.
Yeah.
But it's probably her actual accent.
I did a little, because I thought for a moment when I saw her little girl picture, I'm like, oh, shit, that's, I can't remember the character's name in the Matrix sequels, but the little Indian girl who's like the Oracle's hope for, like, balance, like going to be the new Oracle or something like that.
All I can see now in my head is young Callie in that role.
Right.
Because I want to say they were dressed similar, or they had the braids or something.
Yeah,
like
they had the braids, and they had those little those small hairs on the temples and stuff. They're kind of unruly, and they were both in a dress.
And
I'm like, oh shit, I wonder, like, that would be, because they're kind of like, okay, when was the Matrix? That was like 10 years ago. That would, like,
oh, it was almost 20. It was 99.
Well, I'm saying the sequels. They were out a couple years later, so yeah. Like 2005. So, you know, yeah, that she'd be about that age. But I looked up, and there's only like three other credits besides Stranger Things.
Okay,
I'll say that is, like, I do believe that. Yeah, she's probably a British actress
because mm-hmm.
She does have that accent nailed. But maybe not. Maybe she's from India or Delhi or Pakistan or who knows.
Yeah, I wish one thing I think they could have done a little bit better, but probably didn't have time to do, honestly, in this one episode, is if they had told me why these people had been hurt, like her friends, like what happened to them, you know? Like, she said, oh, everybody here has been hurt or whatever, and I'm helping him heal. But, like, I need to know how they were hurt in order to really care.
Yeah.
Like, why does Mohawk guy think he can put on a mask and rob a bank and nobody will know that Mohawk guy was the guy?
Yeah.
He seems damaged.
Yeah. Well, not only that, but, like, there was a couple things that I just – he especially, like – you've been palling around with this girl who can get a nosebleed and make cops think that tunnels are caved in and spiders are doing this and that. And your first reaction to finding out that she's got this sister with another serial number tattooed on her arm is like, she can move things with her mind? No way. That's impossible. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, your perception of the world has not changed one bit.
Right, it's like Captain Kirk finding out the Romulans have cloaking device and say, that's fucking impossible. Ships to faster than light travel and matter replication and transportation, sure. But invisible ships, no, I don't believe it. Like, come on. That's so fucking annoying. It's kind of like, you know, there's a little bit of zombie movies in there. It's like, okay, sure, everyone's going to have disbelief as zombies, but, like, you know, 4 or 5 weeks into the apocalypse, it's time to get on board that zombies are real.
Yeah.
This guy. Yeah.
Oh, the other thing I wanted to talk about, Elle or Jane couldn't find Callie when she first looked for her. And it got me to thinking, why? Why not? Is it because she had such an old picture of her? And she looks so much different now? Or was it because she had to search basically the entire world at that point?
Well, I mean, she seemed like she found that one Russian dude pretty handily. I think you're right. I think it's more like this picture was old and the connection tenuous. And it almost like her subconscious mind found her because she was asleep and dreaming. Like, like, you know, her eyes were moving. And that's when the vision came to her.
Yeah.
Similarly to now, she's getting these dreams of, like, these Dagobah visions of Hopper and Will or Hopper and Mike, rather, in trouble.
Yeah, that's interesting. That is kind of a new thing for her.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always in the past she has specifically had to go out and look for someone.
Yeah.
And maybe she is here. I don't know. But
I think they're also suggesting she's getting powerful because, like, she moved that train car, and we're you know, like, kind of poking fun when she started, like, oh, it's going to be a two nostril bleeder.
Uh-huh.
And it didn't. Like, she moved this very heavy thing, channeling her anger, and I think they're suggesting that maybe she's getting stronger.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, this subconscious, like, as she continues to exercise her power, and she's getting better at it. It makes sense. It's a muscle. You work it out, you're going to get better.
Yeah.
That's the thing, like, I've always interpreted the nosebleeds and her passing out with heroic evidence that, like, it's doing actual damage to her very much in, like, what was that dopey game? Well, not dopey game. It was a good game we played. Life is Strange.
Uh-huh.
Stranger Things, Life is Strange.
Yep.
Like, people was nosebleeding. I'm thinking something's going wrong with your brain. And, like, you've got, like, a finite amount you can do that before, like, some fuse snaps and you're just a dead person.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem to be the case with Elle. This, like...
No, she just kind of accepts, all right, I'm going to do this thing. My nose is going to bleed, and we're going to keep going.
Yeah. I, if there is any long-term damage, we haven't seen it because, for all we know, Callie's been doing this for 10 years and doesn't seem any worse to wear at all.
Yeah.
Shoplifting Egos. I like that nod.
That was pretty good, yeah.
She's a pro at this now.
She is.
I don't really have much more to say about this episode.
No,
I'm
I think
really
that's
antsy
it.
To get back.
Yeah, I want to get back to Hawkins, so maybe we should go.
All right. If you'd like to send us feedback for the wrap-up podcast at this point, StrangerThings@baldmove.com. We also have forum post at forums.baldmove.com. Every episode's already got its own thread, so you can jump in there at your own pace and discuss it with your fans, fellow fans. And if you want to keep up with our... I don't know. Today, like, it's done. Like, there's nothing to keep up with. Probably by the time you listen to this, we'll have all the episodes out, and we're just waiting for the wrap-up podcast. But check out baldmove.com and follow us along on social media if you want to keep up to date as the episodes are dropping. All right, Jim, let's get back to it.